Invite you to be seated, and we'll continue here. This will be the last week that we do this, working through a few sections of the Catechism, teaching around the what Scripture says, what Scripture teaches us to believe, to live, to practice. We're going to wrap up our look today at Communion. So we'll read responsively this second part here of the Church's teaching on Communion. Yeah, it's up there on the screen or in your bulletin there to follow along. As the head of that family should teach it in a simple way to his household, what is the benefit of this eating and drinking? These words, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, show us that in the sacrament, forgiveness of sins, life and salvation are given us through these words. For where there is salvation, there is also life and salvation. How can bodily eating and drinking do such great things? Certainly not just eating and drinking do these things, but the words written here, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. These words, along with the bodily eating and drinking, are the main thing in the sacrament. Whoever believes these words has exactly what they say, forgiveness of sins. Who receives the sacrament worthily? Fasting and bodily preparation are certainly fine outward training, but that person is truly worthy and well prepared who has faith in these words, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. But anyone who does not believe these words or doubts them is unworthy and unprepared, for the words for you require all hearts to believe. So we'll continue looking a little bit this morning at communion and kind of fleshing out what communion is, what that means for us, for our life together, for our lives as God's people individually. And we're specifically going to be thinking about life together today. And as we do that, I want you to think with me about maybe a time or a place, a group of people that you just knew you belonged with, that you just felt welcomed, felt included, felt like, these are my people. This is my place. This is where I belong. Maybe it's with a group of friends. There's some laughter already, so we'll get people to share stories maybe later. But group of people, a place, you have something in mind? You just knew you belonged there. Maybe a place that you want to go back to now. A group of people that you love being with. For me, one of the first places that comes to mind is Bible school. Awkward teenager going to Bible school. You can ask Cassie about that. Awkwardness, maybe it hasn't left yet, I don't know. but the place, the group of people there, a wide group of, diverse group of people, I just felt like I could be myself. Like I was there, like I belonged. What is it for you? You see, I think we're all searching for belonging in life. We're all looking for where we belong. Maybe some of us have found it or found it in parts of our lives, but deep down inside, we're looking for somewhere to belong. And again, we find that works its way out in a variety of different ways. Right, we might find our belonging in our old group of friends that we went to school with. Just looking around the room, there's still probably quite a bit of you in this room alone that you that you went to school with, right? You know, that old group of friends that you chummed with. It might be in sports teams, playing hockey or ball or, you know, something like that. In crafts or hobbies that you do, finding people that do the same things that you enjoy and talking about that, spending time doing that. Right, we're all looking for belonging. I wanted to think today a little bit about how communion really is about belonging, a sense of belonging, how it is for us, the place where we belong. It's that communion that we're reminded that we belong to God, but also that we belong to each other. We belong to God, and we belong to and with each other. We're going to do that, kind of unpacking a little bit, trying to flesh out a Greek word. See, I waited a few minutes before I lost some of you here today. the word is koinonia. You want to try saying that, koinonia? No, there's nobody to hide behind today, right? There's so few of us. Koinonia. Koinonia, you can play that through in the back of your head. But it's kind of a word that's hard to get a precise meaning around because it has such a wide and deep sense to its word. It's a word that can convey belonging, convey purpose, that this is where I am meant to be. It's a word that's often translated as fellowship or gathering together. In Acts, the early church was, said that they had koinonia, they had fellowship together. They gathered together, they broke bread, they shared everything in common with each other. A sense of belonging, a sense of fellowship, of togetherness. But the depth of the word is that it's not just kind of, horizontal relationship, between you and me and each other, but there's also a heavenly aspect to it as well. A relationship not just with people, but a relationship that includes God as well. The sense of belonging, the sense of togetherness, the sense of fellowship, of oneness, of unity. A sense of purpose and belonging. So we're going to look today at how communion is this. Is this koinonia? Koinonia. You just want, I'm just trying to help you sound smart with your friends. I know no Greek here. And it's too late, did somebody say? How communion instills this sense of belonging, this sense of purpose to us. We're going to look at two verses together this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if you want to, it's not in any of our written stuff, but if you want to open your Bibles there, if you have a Bible or a black pew Bible before you, that's page 957. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we'll look at verses 16 and 17. And Paul is here addressing the church in Corinth, their practice of communion. Specifically in this section, he's talking about food being sacrificed to idols. Not really a problem that we have today, but addressing some of their concerns, whether they could eat some of the food that was sacrificed in other temples, in temples of pagan gods, and whether they could eat that food. Whether they were then participating in a pagan ritual or idol worship if they ate that food. We're not going to dig into that. I remember doing that a few years ago, and I think we all left more confused than than there was help. But there's two verses here in particular that Paul draws the association between what you eat with who you are. And he does that specifically with communion here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. He says to the church in Corinth, "The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation," the Greek word there, koinonia, "is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation," koinonia again, "in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread." You see, communion is ultimately about belonging. It's about participation. Paul reminds us first that it's about belonging to God. That communion is about uniting us with Christ. That in communion, we are united with Christ in his death. We're united with Christ in his death. It's It's one of the central elements of the Christian faith, that God came down, that God became man, God with flesh on. He walked around, he lived, he died. We celebrate God with us. Emmanuel, those Christmas kind of themes, that's usually when we think about that. But God with flesh, God with us. It's really what we celebrate at this meal, that God came, that God is with us, that God is for us, that we belong to God. But too often, I think we kind of boil that down to where we're at. You know, we think about, yeah, it's good that God is with me, and then we kind of just associate God with, you know, welcoming him into our misery, welcoming him into our pity, you know, asking God to wallow with us, as it were. And certainly God does that. God is with us in those moments. But I think we sometimes miss the mark. We forget that God didn't come just to be present in our good times and our bad times, but that God came to transform our lives, to give us hope, to give us a future, to give us a good a way forward. Eugene Peterson writes in his paraphrase, it's his translation of Scripture called The Message. He writes in these verses, his way of talking about them. He says this, that in communion we don't reduce Christ to what we are, but he raises us to what he is. We don't reduce Christ to what we are, but he raises us to what he is. See, that strikes me because I think so often we reduce God to what we want him to be, where we need him in our lives in that moment. And when we do that, we put God kind of in a small box. Because I'm going to want God to do what I want God to do for me, right? Does that make sense? I want God to do what God is going to do for me, and not necessarily what God wants to do in me. We tend to reduce God to how we understand him. And again, God didn't come just to make our lives, you know, a little bit better. Just a little bit better, but he came that there'd be a radical shift in our lives, a new shift. Talks of new life, a new focus, a new hope, new life in him. So often I think we kind of just want to sprinkle a little bit of God or Jesus in our lives, kind of like you're salting popcorn or something, right? You don't want to get too salty because then, right, we just want just enough. But that's not the reality of what God has come to do. That God has come that we would have new life, a new focus. In fact, that's the very benefit of the cross. Paul talks about participating in the life and the death of Jesus, participating in his body and his blood. That's the benefit of the cross, to know that we are forgiven, that we are forgiven, that we're released to live this new life with God at the center. We are forgiven, we're released to live this new life with God at the center. But again, so often I think we kind of live with tolerable sin or kind of acceptable loss. I'm okay with this sin or that sin. You know, I know I can come to church and, you know, I'll be forgiven and all of that. We kind of live with that mentality instead of understanding that God has come to radically shift our lives, to reorient our focus. Not so much what we can get away with, but what we're called to. And in that communion unites us with Christ in his death. Reorients our lives around him. It's not about like a bare minimum or, you know, what can I get away with, but what does God want for me? What does God want for me? Because in this meal, we meet with him. We're reminded that we belong to him. We belong to him by very virtue of his death, by the shedding of his blood. He says that we're bought with a price. You've been bought by God. That means you don't belong to yourself. You belong to God. That's what we say. That's what we remember when we come to this table to receive from him, that we're united with Christ in his death. It means that we belong to him. But this table also reminds us that we're united with each other as well. We're united to each other. That's the ultimate trajectory of this forgiveness, this new life, this new hope, this reorientation of life. It's about each other. Verse 17, after talking about participating in the blood of Christ and the body of Christ, Paul goes on to say, because there is one bread, we who are many are one body. We often sing a song about that. We all partake of the one bread. It says that we're one body. See, the gathering of at the table, the koinonia, the fellowship, the togetherness, the unity, the oneness, that sense of belonging. We're joined together in our common hope in Jesus, in our common life in him. I think that's especially important and will be in the days ahead as what we're called to do as our lives are reoriented around the cross in light of forgiveness stands in stark contrast with those outside of the church, those outside of the faith. We need to be reminded that we are united together, that we have a common purpose, a common hope, a common vision, a common life. Together. That it's not just about your relationship with God and my relationship with him and yours and, you know, kind of us doing it all on our own. But that it's about our relationship with God together. That's why we celebrate communion together or somewhat together, six or seven of us up there at a time. Forgiveness, you know, so often we want to make it just a personal thing, but it impacts all of life, all of our relationships, those around us. Communion reminds us that we need each other. We need each other. We've been forgiven. We've been bought by Christ. We share a common purpose, a common hope. And forgiveness shapes and changes our relationships. And again, I increasingly believe that we'll need to be reminded of this in the days, the years ahead. You know, time and again, Paul and the writers of the New Testament tell the church to expect persecution, to stand firm in the faith. It's awful hard to do when you're standing out there by yourself. It's awful hard to do when you're standing by yourself. But we stand together with each other, with this common purpose, a common hope, the common life of Jesus, that Jesus welcomes us to. Communion joins us together with our Savior and with each other for the life of the world, the hope of the world. Okay, not just my forgiveness, my life, but forgiveness and life for the world, that we would show that life, that love for the whole world. This is the message that everyone needs to hear. Everyone's looking for belonging. We find it in a whole bunch of places. Many of them not so healthy or not so good. The world is looking for belonging. The world also needs to hear, though, of forgiveness. And that's where it all comes together at the table, here in this place. We're reminded that we're forgiven, that we stand together, that we're united with Christ in his death, and united with each other in his life. So with that a reminder that Christ has come, he's lived and he's died, he offers to us his forgiveness, but that he calls us together, unites us as his people in one common hope and one common purpose. It's with that in mind that we come to the table, that we come to receive from him, to be reminded again of his forgiveness, of his life for us.